Have you ever thought about the question and asked yourself, what does it mean for me to love my neighbor? It's ironic that when we think about that, it becomes very, very complicated. I remember back several years ago, I actually preached a sermon that was called, it was titled this. It says, "Do you love your neighbor or do you just like them?" I know that as we think about that, there are probably some things that can come to our heart and to our mind when we consider what it means to love our neighbor. We want to take a look at that today in God's Word as we gather around today. We're going to take a look as we continue our study in the parables. We're going to take a look at the Good Samaritan living out love and compassion. So grab your Bible, turn it to Luke's Gospel chapter 10, and I'll see you here in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I'm just so glad that you're joining us today as we take these moments to gather around God's Word. I trust that you have your Bible unless you're driving down the road to listen to us, and that way we'll give you a little bit of a reprieve. But if you can, grab that Bible. We want you to be in God's Word with us where we are. People have asked me before, they say, well, you know what, I use my phone as a Bible, and I'm like, that's okay, but I really kind of like one I can write in and do all kinds of things, make my notes in and so forth. So if you've got a good hard copy of your Bible, grab that, turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And I mentioned just a moment ago, we're looking at today's parable, which is called the Good Samaritan, and most of us have probably heard this, whether you've been a part of church in your lifetime, or even if you haven't, you've probably heard this term used. And there's some very interesting things about that. So let's go ahead and take a look at our passages today. It's Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be starting at verse 30. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 30. It says, "Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time of Bible study together today. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for all that you do for us. Father, I pray that as we take these moments to ponder this parable that you taught, that we would understand and realize that it is still the same concept is applicable to us today in our lives as we follow you from day to day. So, Lord, help us to hear your Holy Spirit today. Lord, may we give ear to what the Spirit has to say. And then, Father, mostly we need to make sure that we apply what it is the Holy Spirit teaches us from your word today. So, Lord, give us grace and strength and give us the power to make adjustments where adjustments may be needed. And, Lord, as always, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you, that you would convict their heart during these very moments, that they may give their life to you and be able to have eternal life through your Son in that place called heaven, which we so gratefully desire. So, Lord, bless our time together today as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, we're talking about looking at the parables, and a parable is a story that Jesus would give to those who were his listeners or followers that was something they could relate to. It was trying to teach a point that by giving them a story that they could understand. So it's very interesting what we see when we look at this particular parable. So let me carry you back to the way it starts, because as we start to get into it, we have to understand what's taking place and what's going on. First of all, the context of this passage is that there was a man who was attacked and he was left for dead on the roadside. We can relate to that. You've watched the news or you've even understood your city or town or whatever. But here was a man who was attacked. He was left for dead on the road. And it's interesting enough that two religious leaders are passing by, and they do so without even offering a helping hand to him. Now, it's interesting that as we go back in the verses leading in to the parable, we see what was going on. There was a question that had been asked Jesus. Over in verse 25, it says, a certain lawyer stood up saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he's posing a question as well. And so the man answered, and he said that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now we know that. We know that that is scripture that had been taught, you know, from the days of the Old Testament, not only through the New Testament, but even up to now. So then Jesus says to him in verse 28, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Now, verse 29, he says this. He says, verse 29 says, "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" That is a huge, huge question. And notice what it said. It said, wanting to justify himself. So what was taking place was he wanted to be able to have something he could hang his hat on to be able to say, "I don't like the Samaritan people." The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. And you know, call it what you want. There wasn't any real reason. It was just, well, why do you hate that guy? Well, I hate him because he's a Samaritan. Much like, you know, things that we see in our society today concerning racism or any other thing that would be discriminatory along the way. So the Jews and the Samaritans just did not get along. Now let's go back to the context of the scripture that we were talking about today, the parable that Jesus taught. So remember, here is a man. The context says that there was a man who was attacked and left for dead on the road. Now I want to go back over to where all of a sudden we get the layout in verse 30. But verse 31 says this. It says, "Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Now pause for just a minute. We are talking about a priest, somebody who should have care and compassion. Most of you would sit back and say the same thing. You'd sit back and say, well, if the preacher just went on by and didn't stop to help, man, what hope is there for somebody else? So this is a priest, somebody that you would have expected to stop and help out. Okay, so that's one strike. All right, let's look on down to verse 31. It says, "Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." So what you've got is you've got two people who in this given scenario would have been most likely to have stopped and helped, who have basically looked the other way. We don't know what the reason is. The scripture doesn't tell us what the reason for it would be. But you just picture, you know, the priest is walking by and he sees the guy. He knows he's there, but yet maybe he tries to look the other way like he didn't see him and just keep on walking by. Then you've got the Levite. Maybe the Levite was sitting back saying, "Ooh, man, look at the time. I've got places to go, things to do, people to see. I don't feel like I got time to sit down here. This is going to cost me time. This is going to cost me money. This is going to cost me all kinds of things. So I think I'd just rather just ease on by, and maybe somebody else will come along and somebody else will take care of him." So you're getting the picture as to what was going on and what was taking place. Now, when we get down to those scriptures, the two that you think would be the priest and the Levite that you would have thought would have stopped, culturally should have stopped, and then you get down to verse 33. It says, "But a Samaritan," that's a key word. Why? Remember what we said a minute ago. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. If any of those three, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, if any of those three were going to stop and help, most people would have said, well, the priest probably would have stopped. Maybe the Levite would have, maybe not, but definitely the Samaritan wouldn't, because those Samaritans hate the Jews. That's just, you know, hey, forget him. So are you understanding that in this parable, the person who was least likely to be the one to stop was the one who actually did stop to help? So look at verse 33 with me. It says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." That's huge. He had compassion. In other words, he cared. I think one of the biggest problems that we're having in society today is that we don't seem to have compassion anymore. We just really don't care. And I think that the part of the problem is that that has spilled over even to the Christian community. Do we really care about people like we used to? Some may sit back and say, well, we do. We try to help out if somebody has a physical need or somebody has a monetary need or whatever. But folks, let me ask you this question. Do we really care whether or not people are dying and going to hell? I mean, are we taking the time along the way to say, hey, God's given me a talent and ability to serve him? And it breaks my heart to know that there are people out there who are without Jesus, who are going to hell, and it's burdened my heart enough that I need to do something about it. Or are we in the everyday 2024 society going by saying, well, you know what, that's somebody else's job. Let the preacher handle that. Let the Sunday school teachers handle that. Let somebody else handle it because I don't have time. I don't have the money. I don't have the energy. Are you seeing the parallel that's going on with this particular parable that we're reading about right now? The two that were most likely to stop didn't. The one who was least likely to stop actually did. And yes, there were some certain things that he knew was going to happen and certain things that he knew was going to take place when he stopped along the way to help. Now, let me get back to that scripture again in verse 33. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was and saw him and had compassion. First of all, that's huge. He had compassion. The priest didn't show compassion. The Levite didn't show compassion. So what did he do? Verse 34 tells us, it says, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So I want you to get this picture once again. I want you to see it in your mind. The person who was least likely to stop by, saw him, had compassion, goes over, realizes this is a man who is wounded, realizes that this was a man who was in pretty bad shape because the scripture tells us that he was essentially half dead and left for dead. So this man who, by the standards of society, should have been the one to walk by, gets this man, takes whatever it is that he needs, you know, whether it's strips of cloth, which, by the way, were very valuable back in that day. So he bandages up this guy's wounds. It says he dresses them. Now, like I say, I don't know exactly what the oil and the wine did, but that was the disinfectant. That was the methylated hydrogen peroxide or alcohol of its day. It was designed to treat a wound. So it says that the Samaritan, who is supposed to hate the Jews, all of a sudden he's fixing him up. Now, I don't know whether or not the fallen man actually knew who was taking care of him at that particular point, but it says that he stopped. In other words, he had to stop what he was doing. Obviously, this Samaritan was on his way somewhere. But he had to take the time to have compassion. It took him time to stop. It took him time to utilize the things that he had with him. In other words, whatever it was that he used as bandages. You know, the wine wasn't free. The oil wasn't free. I'm sure that he had had it for a specific and a particular reason along the way of his journey. But he used what he had. He didn't sit back and say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm surely going to charge this guy for these supplies when we're all done. You never see any of that. You see that he had compassion on him, and he wanted to see something good in this man, okay? So then it says this. It goes even further. Let's go back to the scripture. It says in verse 34, it talks about how he dresses his wounds, and it says he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So obviously, this man didn't even get where he was going. He was on a journey. He comes across this this fallen Jewish man. He takes the time to stop and fix him up. And now instead of him being able to get where he was going, he is taking this man to an inn. And he's taking care of him while he's there. You know, he may have taken the time to get him dinner, to try to feed him, to try to help nurse him back to his health. So at any rate, it took him at least that night to spend with that man to try to help take care of him and make him well again. In other words, the Samaritan didn't get where he was going. His plans all changed. Now listen, let me ask you a question. How good are you at the change of plans? You know, God has a way of changing your plan. You might be on a journey going somewhere, and that journey can be metaphorically as well. Yeah, you're on your way going somewhere, and often God changes the plan. You know, often instead of going from point A to point B, you've got to go, you know, from here to here to here to here to here to get there, and it's all part of God's journey. I've said so many times, look for the divine appointments that God has placed out there before you. This was a divine appointment. You know, the Samaritan could have, should have, based on culture and history, the Samaritan should have been the one who even laughed and said, hey, man, you probably got what you deserved, and just walked on by. But yet he didn't. So God is trying to teach some incredible things to us, particularly in regard to knowing, you know, and being compassionate for those around us. Remember, this all traces back to what the answer that Jesus was giving to one of the lawyers when he said, remember, he was trying to justify being able to dislike somebody, because he said, what is it that the word says? And he told Jesus, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And then so he wants to be specific. He says, well, then who is my neighbor? All right, hold that thought for just a minute. This is what Jesus is relating in this particular parable. So now all of a sudden, the person, the lawyer who asked that question is probably not liking the answer, because he sees where this is going. You know, Jesus has pointed out that the guy who was least likely to stop and help was the one that did. And yes, it cost him time. Yes, it cost him money. Yes, it cost him many things. Now, as we go on in the scripture, how do we know that it cost him money? It says in verse 35, it says, on the next day. So he spent the night, he and the Samaritan and the injured Jew has spent the night at this particular inn. And then verse 35 says, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will come again and repay you. So yes, the Samaritan had things to do, places to go, and people to see, but he did what was right to help take care of this man, even to the point when he said, I'm going to go ahead and pay you a couple of days' wages. Will you take care of this man? Please take care of him. And by the way, if the cost exceeds what I have given you to take care of him with, when I come back, I will pay you the difference. Imagine that. I mean, and these are guys who are supposed to be enemies. These are guys who are supposed to not be able to stand each other simply because one was a Jew and one was a Samaritan. Consider that for a moment. So you're starting to get the parallel of what Jesus is trying to teach this lawyer who asked the question, who is my neighbor? Remember what I said before? I said, I preached a sermon one time. Do you really love your neighbors, or do you just like them? What does it mean to love them? It means to help out. It means to, what does the word tell us? Pray for our enemies. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Man, you're sitting there going, it's hard enough for me to even look at them, much less pray for them? Come on, man. Yeah, don't ask me to do that. Well, don't worry. I didn't ask you to do that. God did. So remember, don't stone the messenger. Yeah, think about where that's coming from. So let's go back. And he says this. He's saying, okay, I'm going to go on out of here, but here's money. Here's plenty of money. Take care of him. But if you happen to go over what I've given you, when I come back, I'll pay you more. Now, as we get down there, let me go back to verse 35. It says, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So here's what Jesus says. Now he's coming back to answer the question. He's given this parable, this story, to drive home a point, and now he's getting ready to answer this lawyer who has asked this question, trying to justify the fact that it's okay for him to hate the Samaritans. After all this parable, Jesus says in verse 36, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? Now, you don't have to be Jim Dobson with Focus on the Family to answer this question. Obviously, you would sit back and say, well, obviously, the guy who stopped and took care of him. Now, all along in his mind, he's thinking, well, that guy was a Samaritan. That's the guy who's supposed to hate him. And yeah, he was the one who showed compassion on him. And it's very interesting what Jesus says in verse 37. He says, and who showed mercy on him? And he said, he This is what the attorney's answer. He said, well, which one do you think was neighbor to him? In verse 37, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. That is not the answer that this guy wanted to hear. Yeah, it didn't justify him being able to dislike the Samaritans, and yet he was sitting there trying to say, well, give me just a little bit. It's so funny that people will come and they'll ask me certain questions, and I'll know why they're asking the questions. They'll say, well, preacher, is it all right to do this, or is it all right to do that? What they're really trying to do is find a way to justify something that they know is already sin or that the Lord is not going to like. You know, and that's usually where I'll go with that. I'll usually try to answer in the same way Jesus might answer. I'd say, well, what do you think? What do you think the Word says about that? Now, like I said, I got to be really careful, because if I give them any sort of justification, they'll go away saying, well, the preacher said that the Bible says it's all right for me to hate my neighbor. No, that's not what I said. I'm not giving any justification on that. So what are the concepts that we see from this particular passage? Jesus tells us that we're supposed to have a compassionate heart, much like this Good Samaritan, for all of those that are around us, regardless of what their race is, regardless of what their socioeconomic status is. We are supposed to have compassion. We are supposed to care for those who need a touch of the Master's hand. We're supposed to care for those who need salvation, and even those who do know Him, who just need a helping hand sometimes. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you up front, Jesus told everybody, it is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you money. But the thing about it is, who owns all of that? Folks, we got to get back to the point where we realize we don't own any of it. We are just stewards. Listen, my bank account is not mine. It's God's. He wants me to be a good steward of that. My house is not mine. It's God's. He wants me to be a good steward of that. My vehicle that I drive around, it all belong to Him. And when He wants us to use it for His honor and glory, then we should. So what do we see when it comes down to that? We see that God is telling us we need to have a compassionate heart. Then we need to be sacrificial in our actions. You know, it needs to be okay for us to take care of somebody at our expense. Not, well, I'll do it, but somebody else needs to pay for it. You know, remember, it's all God's. We need to have sacrificial actions. You know, our time, our tithe, our talent. And then also, there's a challenge that we see from this passage to love our neighbors. You know, it's interesting that Jesus asks, which of the three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? And the lawyer responds, the one who showed him mercy. Okay, Jesus challenges us to redefine who our neighbor is and to love them as we love ourselves. Okay, see, the true neighbor is not defined by race, ethnicity, social status, or by acts of compassion and mercy. It's anyone we come in contact with. So how do we apply this? You know, I've said before, it's not enough just to simply have head knowledge. How do we take what we've learned today from God's Word and make application to it in our lives? Okay? Well, are we showing love and compassion to everyone regardless of their differences between them and us? Are we doing that? Or do we turn certain segments of society away from us because we don't like them for whatever reason it may be? Do we see ourselves as the good Samaritan in this parable, or do we need to change our perspective and our action towards other people? Listen, if the Lord's convicted your heart of that today, I want to challenge you to answer the call that the Holy Spirit is placing in your heart and your life. I don't want you to be ashamed of it. I want you to be ashamed of it after you've asked forgiveness of it so that you don't ever want to be there again. But the bottom line is that the Lord called us to be compassionate to all of those that are around us. You know, as we kind of wind down this particular parable, we need to understand that the parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us the importance of showing love and compassion to everyone, even our enemies and those who are different from us. Okay? Let us be known as the people who live out the command to love our neighbor as ourselves. And as we go out into this world, may we see opportunities to show that love and compassion just like the Good Samaritan did. Folks, let me tell you, they're all around you. The Lord has provided those opportunities to each and every one of us, and He will continue to do that on a daily basis. You know, so for the moment, think of a specific person or maybe a group of people that you struggle to show love and compassion toward. I want you to think about that. The Holy Spirit, as you think about it, will already pinpoint that in your heart and your life. So think about that people group or person or group of people that you struggle to be able to show love and compassion toward. And I want to encourage you to ask God to help you to see them as your neighbor and show them His love through your actions. Now, it's interesting that last week when we were talking about the parable, remember one of the things I continued on with was when Jesus said to all the people that were there, when He said, "Do you see this woman?" Remember what I said? I pointed out the fact that too often we don't see people through the same eyes that Jesus sees them. Once again, we are reminded of this. Do you see this woman? Do you see this man? Do you see this neighbor, this coworker, this fellow student, whatever the case may be? Do you see them in the same manner in which the Lord sees them? Do you struggle to show love and compassion toward them? Listen, if you do, get on your knees and ask God to help you to see them as your neighbor and to show them His love through the actions that you can produce in their lives. And by the way, listen, when they see that, they don't see you. That is when they will see your Heavenly Father. I'm going to pray for you here in just a moment. Let me tell you what we're going to be studying this week and where we're going to be as far as the parables for next Wednesday. Okay, so this week I want you to read Luke chapter 15. So that's Luke's Gospel chapter 15. Next week we are going to discuss the prodigal son, one of my favorite all-time parables from Luke's Gospel chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. This one's probably well known to a lot of people, but some great, great concepts that will come from this particular parable as we study them. So remember, folks, love your neighbor as yourself. Be better in defining who your neighbor is. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, again, we just ask that you give us grace and give us strength. Lord, we realize that there are probably ways that we judge those that are around us and Father, particularly those who may be different from us. So Lord, right now, I just ask that you would pinpoint those things in our lives. Give us the strength and the courage to ask you to forgive us and Lord, to give us a new vision. Lord, help us to be much like that Samaritan, to be able to have that compassion that you have placed in our heart to reach out to those that are different than we are. And Lord, to show them your love in a way that is very, very special and meaningful, not only to you, but also to us as we become instruments in your hand to do so. Lord, we pray that you'll help us look for those opportunities this week that you will give us to be used by you for the kingdom's sake. And Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking this time on a Wednesday to spend with us at the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge. Again, I want to invite you to come by and worship with us on Sunday mornings. If you're not familiar with our location, we're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our worship service begins at 11:45 a.m., and we do have other discipleship opportunities through the week. We've got Sunday school. We've got some small groups. We have some women's ministry. We have Awana in the fall. During the school year, we have Awana, so that'll be going on as we speak. We would love to have you come by. If you do, be sure to come by and introduce yourself to me. Everybody just calls me Pastor Roy. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. May God bless you as you have a great week.